All right, let's pray. God, thank you so much for being here with us, God, tonight. Father, so, you know, the typical thing you just say, it's great to be with the men. You know, you hear it all the time, and, you know, it's so exciting. But, God, we're so grateful to be here. And, God, you have picked each and every one of us, God, to be the hope for New York City. God, the men that are going to change the world. Father, I pray that we can all have our hearts open and that we're humble and that we're wanting and eager to learn, God. What you have to teach us today, God, just use me in the best way that you can. Help me to just be, let the Spirit really work through me and really allow me to really preach exactly what you want to be heard tonight, God. We love you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's what we're going to be looking at today, all right? So for those who don't know me, my name is Charles, and I'm from the Bronx region of the New York City Church. Where the Bronx at? Yeah. Okay, all right, amen. So we're going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1 today, and verse 5. It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a great passage, isn't it? Yeah. It's talking about adding to our faith. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight. How can we add to our faith? You know, Peter, who's writing this letter, it's pretty inspiring because Peter, he messed up big time, right? And you think about how he denied Jesus 3 times. You know, you think about how he, you know, he ended up rebuking Jesus after Jesus said he was going to go to the cross. I mean, Peter did some messed up stuff. And now this guy who then starts the church is now in a position now where he's calling us to persevere in our faith. Right. Isn't that pretty amazing? Right. How Peter's life has been transformed. How he's inspiring us to add to our faith. Because guys, faith is so valuable. Right. Faith is extremely important. And we need to continue to add to that like Peter says here. No, because the truth is, as you decide to be a disciple, you know, some of us here haven't made a decision to be baptized yet, but you're going to find out tonight that discipleship is amazing. And that's going to be my goal, but I do want to tell you that adding to your faith is going to be something you'll be doing for the rest of your life. It's going to be something you're always going to be growing in. And thank God that faith is so valuable and that God gives that to us. And so, it was also pretty amazing about faith is, that's what's going to help you get to heaven. Like, that's what's going to help you see God one day, right? And the way we have it set up for people who want to come and really know about God and really become a disciple, you know, we paint the picture. We tell them, hello, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. There's going to be so many, God's going to be with you. There's going to be so many amazing things you'll be able to experience. But what you don't know is you don't know the trials that are going to test your faith. You don't know the things that are going to happen after you get baptized. All you know is, all right, Jesus is Lord, I repented, now I'm baptized. And praise God that God does that. He doesn't tell us what's going on. Because I'll tell you what, if God was to tell us what was going to happen to our faith after we get baptized, we wouldn't get baptized, amen? It just wouldn't happen. I mean, we'd be having conversations like, yo, how long you been studying the Bible, bro? You know, I'm going on like 25 years, you know what I'm saying? Like we're talking about like we in jail or something, you know? Like, but the thing is, we're going to need, our faith is so valuable. We've got to keep adding to it in order to persevere and make it to the end. Amen? Amen. So we're going to talk about 2 things tonight, all right? So 2 things from the list. I wish we could talk about all of them, but we won't have enough time for that. But we're going to talk about 2, and one is add to your faith knowledge. And the second is add to your faith love. We're going to talk about those 2 things tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Awesome. So the word disciple, point number one, add to your faith. The word disciple, right? It means that someone is a learner, a student.
Right.
Which means that when you decide to make Jesus Lord, it meant that you are now going to be the student at the feet of Jesus. That you're going to want to learn, that you're going to want to grow. And a lot of us here, I know, are college students, but the truth about it is, before you're even if you're a disciple today, before you're a college student, when you got baptized, the priority is that you have now walked into the University of Jesus Christ. You've walked in into a lifetime of just wealth of knowledge from Jesus himself that you get to learn, which is an amazing opportunity that you literally get to learn from the Creator himself. Who wouldn't want to add to their faith the knowledge of God because of that very reason? And so as we're disciples and as we're learning to be more like Jesus, we got to be thinking, man, what can I learn? How can I grow? In what ways can I add to my faith? And when you think about being a disciple, following Jesus, we got to be thinking about things such as, you know, how can I think like Jesus? You know, how can I live like Jesus? What did he do? Why did he do it? You know, those are the things that got to be on our hearts if we want to add knowledge to our faith. Matthew 4, verse 19. Here Jesus says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What's amazing about this passage, Jesus is calling the disciples, like, come follow me, and I will make you a fishers of men. Like, Jesus wants to just teach you and give you so much wisdom and knowledge that will literally blow your mind. And we get an opportunity to learn from him himself. So I want to ask you tonight, how eager are you? Are you eager to learn? Are you eager to really know what Jesus has to say so that it can add to your faith? You know, I don't want to share a story real quick, but one of the things I was most eager about when I became a disciple was, and it was something I did before I was a Christian too, but I love Jordans. You know, like Jordans was like my favorite thing. I mean, I got so into it. I remember I got to a phase maybe a year I was a disciple. I got to this phase where I was just buying hundreds of dollars worth of Jordans. I mean, I was finding out how to find out if they're fake. I mean, I was on YouTube looking at videos. I was up to like 4 a.m. sometimes, just watching those videos and just trying to figure out, man, which ones are the fakes? You know, which ones are, you know, because I don't want to walk around with fakes on my feet. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you did that up in high school, you probably already felt the pain from that still, from the, you know, people checking your stuff, you know? So, but I was just so eager to just learn about that stuff, man. I put so much time into it. And I remember just, one day I just felt like, man, I'm going to bed at 4 a.m. I'm getting up at like 7. So I go to class, you know? It was just like, it was crazy. I just had a reality check of like, why am I so eager about a pair of plastic shoes? You ever just thought about that? You ever thought about things you're just eager about? And it's kind of like, wait, why am I just putting so much time into this? Well, that's what I felt about those shoes. And don't get me wrong, I mean, it's okay to have Jordans. I mean, some people got some Jordan 11s on tonight, or some 10s or some 9s. 9 Chicago's is my favorite. But it's not wrong to be eager about something. But are you eager about something that literally can change your life?
Come on, bro.
Because there's things in life you can be eager about, but is it changing you? And God wants to give you his knowledge so you can be transformed. It's something that when you put your heart and time into it, it's going to make a huge difference. And guys, and so I ended up giving up my whole collection. I ended up selling everything, you know? I mean, there were times where a pair of things was like $300. I got paid $350 and I spent the whole $300 on it. Like, I mean, it was crazy, but I got to a place in my life where it's like, you know what? This is not benefiting me spiritually. This is not helping me at all. And so I had to give it all up. I had to give up those desires, those things that I was eager about, so I could then replace it with the knowledge of God. Guys, where are you at tonight? You know, what are you eager for? And I got a couple questions for you. You know, do you desire a sister's number more than you desire the book of Numbers? You know, do you desire your special moves on your video games more than knowing about his name? You know, do you desire more about song lyrics than you desire about the Holy Spirit? Where are you at tonight? Because guys, there's so much wealth of knowledge that we get to learn from God. But here's the issue, is that in order to learn, you need humility. You gotta be humble. So guys, we're gonna talk about humility and pride tonight. Because I feel like that's something that cripples men. completely. In Luke 14, verse 11, it says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." James 4:10, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up." And here's the truth. The truth about it, guys, is that we're all prideful in some way or another. It's just the truth. We're all prideful in one way or the other. You know, some pride shows outwardly. It's very obvious, like, "Oh, that brother's prideful." That is clear. But then there's some pride that's just kind of inside. You don't really see it. You know, there's two types of pride. And I don't think the problem is admitting that we have pride. I think the problem is taking it seriously. Because here's the deal. If I came up here and I said, "Hey, man, look, I just struggle with sexual morality. You know, that's just something I just struggle with," right? Ain't that funny, guys? Yeah, it's not funny at all, right? But if I was to joke up here about pride, I see a lot of people laughing about pride more than sexual morality. You know, I see like the seriousness about these other sins are serious, more serious than pride. When really in the Bible, that was the one God condemned the most. Pride is such a huge issue. And so I want to help you guys see, well, what does pride look like? Because for me, I had to actually see examples in order for me to understand it. So guys, get your pens ready, because this is going to be a good list of things that you can see to really evaluate, man, do I relate to this? Because again, this is what hinders us from getting the knowledge that we need from God. Number one, a desire to look good. Where you just want to just look good. And an example could be, you only call your discipling partner when you have good news, but not when you have bad news. You know, only when things aren't going well, you just don't want to kind of get open about it and get real. Another example is when you hate to make mistakes. You know, you hate to make mistakes. You don't try new things and learn because you think you're going to fail or be embarrassed. That's another example of pride. Another area of pride is afraid to ask questions about things you think you're expected to know already. For example, if somebody asks you, "Hey, what are the scriptures for the seeking study?" And you're just like, oh, you know, you kind of have this thing, this wrestling of like, I should know this already. This is the seeking study. This is what I did. But the thing about that is you're afraid to share about things you think you already know. Another example is comfortable leading your way and thinking that your way is always best. You know, thinking that, oh, only my way is best. And not getting advice. Another area is you are selective about who you learn from. For example, well, this brother, I was a disciple longer than this brother. He can't tell me what to do. He can't tell me I can't get advice from him. So pride is actually being selective about who you learn from. You know, another one here is when people in your life try to correct you, your first response is to be offended and to be defensive rather than hearing, listening, and seeing where can I grow. You know, that area is being apathetic, kind of just showing up. You know, there's probably some people in here judging me right now. Oh, I don't like that turtleneck. We got that joint from Marshall, you know what I'm saying? There's probably some criticalness in your heart. Am I being real, or? You know, this is apathetic, like, notes, not even taking notes, right? Are you taking notes? Like, are you really a learner? Like, are you really trying to learn what God's trying to tell you? Because there's going to be times later on this week where you're going to experience some stuff and you're going to have nothing to go back to. You know, it's not being able to take notes, not being able to learn. You know, and lastly here, another example of what pride can look like is a poor self-judgment. You know, 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "If you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." And I think this was a big issue for me, is having poor judgment, you know? I can have people ask me about different areas of my life, and I literally would just be like, "Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's good, that's going great. Oh, my purity, that's great." You know, and it's kind of like, I just masturbated and watched pornography last night. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's just, there's a false, poor judgment of yourself, and that's what pride can do. It can make you not have a good judgment on yourself and where you're really at.
And so guys, this is a, pride is a huge area. Do you guys see how no one can actually learn if their attitude's like this? Like, can you see that there's no way you can actually grow your knowledge of God without humility?
And what does humility look like? Humility, attitudes for that is a humble man sees where he lacks knowledge. And I'm gonna go through some humble examples here. He says, he can tell you what they are because he wants help. So a person who's humble sees where he lacks knowledge and he asks for help. He's always thinking about, man, where can I grow in? You know, where am I falling short? Where can I get help at? Now, a humble man considers advice. You know, they're always thinking about advice. They're not making decisions and finding people to kind of agree with them.
Because that's not advice. A humble man learns from everything, from everybody, and they try to consider advice that was given to them.
You know, a humble man learns from everyone and doesn't select to anyone, you know? There's been plenty of disciples that I've been able to learn from that are actually younger than me spiritually. I've learned a lot from them, because honestly, there's a lot of younger disciples that are still fired up for God, you know, just coming out of the waters, and there's a lot we can really learn from that,
in their faith. And
a humble man also is not afraid to look needy. A humble man is not afraid to look needy. Like, when there's a need in the humble man's life, what they're willing to do is they're willing to expose those needs. Like, hey, bro, I need this money for this. Or, hey, man, honestly, I can't afford the retreat. Could you help me out? You know? And that's a little bonus right there, all right?
So you got money for the retreat.
But just asking for help, you know, not being afraid to look needy. Nothing, for a lot of men, that's a struggle. You know, we were taught and we were brought up thinking that, you know, we have to earn everything and no one can help us. You know, that was a huge part of my life. You know, I was always told, you gotta work for yourself. You don't need nobody else. You know, you gotta do everything on your own. Man, that is not helpful at all for us spiritually. And we gotta get used to being okay with being needy and being humble.
And lastly here, a humble man is willing to be embarrassed, even if it meant advancing the gospel.
That willing to be embarrassed. Do you guys like being embarrassed? Oh man, it does not feel good, right? It does not feel good at all. But what's amazing is that a humble man is willing to even be to the point of embarrassment, if that's what it means to advance the gospel, to help people become Christians, to go out on campus, not being afraid, and just really allowing God to be the one that gets the glory.
Come on, Charles.
And so I got one practical from this whole point. This is it. And I'm telling you, guys, listen to this practical. Literally, this practical will literally change your life. And this practical can literally happen tonight. Like, God can do something tonight. Or tomorrow, wherever it might be. God will answer this quick. And the one practical is, ask God to humble you. That's it.
Psalm 139, verse 24.
This is what David says. This is his heart. He says, Lord, see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David's heart was just like, God, is there any offensive way in me? Like, literally. Like, is there anything in me that is offensive? God, please get rid of it. I don't want it in my life. I don't want it in my heart. That was David's heart. He's just like, he just was so conscious of wanting pride out of his heart and his life. And guys, so the one practical I have is ask God to bring you humility. Man, I tell you what, God will answer that prayer in a hot second.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on, bro.
But I tell you what, on the other side of that answered prayer, you're going to be able to learn so much more. You're going to be able to really, really, really learn a lot from what God has to teach us. But pride has to go. You'll never learn. You'll be stuck in the same place for the rest of your walk with God because of pride. I've seen it happen. I've seen myself, you know, for me a couple years ago, you know, I was asked to be in the internship program. You know, and I remember the minute I got to the program, the only thing that was on my heart was I was comparing myself to people the whole time. You know, I was there like, oh, this, you know, this brother that, I can do this better. Oh, why do you ask this dude to do it? He did the welcome? I didn't get asked to do the welcome, right? So there was just a lot of pride in my heart, man. I was just like comparing myself. And then, you know what happened? That brother excelled, he's doing really well, and I'm just stuck, not growing at all.
because I'm so focused on comparing myself because of my pride in my heart. So guys, let's pray. God, bring me humility.
Come on, bro.
Bring me humility because I need it to grow and I need it to learn.
Amen? Amen. Point number two, add to your faith, love, and mutual affection. Yeah, the brother's gonna talk about love tonight. Woo! Would you guys get a little, all right, we're gonna bring it up a little bit here, all right?
Come on, Charles.
Love. Man.
What's love got to do with
it? Yeah.
Okay.
So love, right? So we gotta add to our faith love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. You guys can turn there.
Come on, bro.
Verse 1 says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I'm a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing.
This is a pretty powerful scripture, right? I mean, there's a lot of things in this list. It's talking about faith. It's talking about all these other things. But then the scriptures also say, man, without love, no matter what we do, like if love isn't the motivating factor behind it, the Bible's saying that it means nothing. It literally means nothing. It means you're just doing a duty with no power behind it. And that it's not about God. And this is pretty crazy because for the church in Corinth, they were going through a lot of issues. And just to let you guys know, like when you read the Bible, all these churches weren't doing really well. You know, a lot of them were struggling. You know, there's a lot of struggles going on there. And for the Corinth church, love was a huge aspect that was missing. And when you look at it, I was a couple of things that was actually going on in the church there. But there were lawsuits against each other. Imagine there were lawsuits going on between the brothers here. I mean, like, people were just suing each other, you know, like, there were lawsuits there, you know, people were getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. I mean, just imagine being at church on Sunday, right? And communion's going on, and just brothers and sisters are just getting drunk. I mean, that'd be crazy, right? Well, this is what was happening in Corinth. You know, there was sexual immorality going on. Idolatry going on. There were a ton of issues. And so what Paul was doing, he was trying to help them to get focused back on the most important thing is love. You gotta have fallen away from love. And so love is an area, guys, that there's always room for growth. You know, I've never met a disciple that said, you know what? Love. Man, I feel like I'm arrived. I feel like, you know, love is something I really don't have to grow in anymore, you know what I'm saying? But love is something, man, we're gonna always have to grow in. Always gonna have to get better at it. You know, and I wanna talk about two areas in which we can add to our faith, love and mutual affection. Hebrews 3 verse 13. You guys can go there.
Come on, Charles.
But I'm gonna bring this down in 2 points, and it's love. The first one is love with words. Okay, love with words.
Hebrews 3 verse 13, it says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Right, so the scripture talks about encouraging one another, how often? Daily, I mean, that's like literally every day, you know? So the Bible's very clear about that. Why? Because it only takes one day for your heart to get hard. It only takes one day for Satan to straight wipe you out. That's why we need love on a daily basis. We need encouragement. We need words. You know, how powerful are words? I'm going to share it with you. You know, in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. And the world came into existence. Literally, let there be light. And God created something with his words. Right? Proverbs 12:6 says, the words of the wicked lie and wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them.
You ever had a conversation with somebody and literally what they told you literally saved you from doing something incredibly stupid? Right? It's like, this is what the scripture says. It's like the words of the upright man, right? Words, powerful words that can literally, it can rescue, it can save your life, literally. Proverbs 12:18 says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And Proverbs 22:11 says, one who loves a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king for a friend. You know, when we look at words, guys, this is super important. Because, guys, in the world today, I'm going to be honest with you, one of the most things that are just destroying the world is love, but people not feeling love from others. You know, we think about the world today, and it's loaded with depression, you know, suicide. You know, and I think a lot of these reasons, maybe the two main reasons why a lot of this is happening is because people aren't loving each other enough with the words that they say. You know, loneliness is a huge one as well. People just feel lonely. Let me tell you guys, I felt very lonely most of my life. For many of us here, we didn't really grow up with a dad. And I'm sure a lot of us here can attest to that. Or not feeling like they're loved. Or not hearing that they're loved. You know, that affects us. And as we grow older, we our heart seems to get cold. And it gets hard. But guys, it's even difficult for me sometimes to even say I love you. You ever feel that sometimes? And maybe you'll be with somebody, and they'll say it back, they'll say it to you, but then it's like this hesitation of, all right, bro. Right. You guys with me? You know? It's real. It's like, I think for a lot of us, we struggle a lot with just expressing how we feel about each other. And that's something that really stems a lot from a lot of the scars that maybe a lot of us were brought up with. And we didn't even get to see or experience the love from words. Maybe from our families or different things. Maybe the words you've gotten were words of hate. You know, words of being bullied. You're probably bullied most of your life. And now you have to deal with that in there. And guys, I tell you what, it's amazing that you're here today because we get to change that tide.
Right, yeah.
We no longer have to be chained up by our past. The brothers in this room, you guys can speak those words of love to each other.
Come on, bro.
We can find that affirmation here.
Yeah.
Here in the church. That's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And so I want to share a couple things here about how can we share those words as comfort. So, words as comfort. And Job, you can write Job 16:5 next to this if you're taking notes. But this is helping someone feel discouraged. Helping someone who feels discouraged or down, right? You ever see somebody like crying and stuff? And you like, oh, snap, what do I do? Do I put my arm around this person? Should I get a sister over here to get on the side of? You know, it's like kind of, we kind of don't know. It kind of feels awkward,
yep.
Right? Like, what do I do, right? And I just want to take time right now to really lift up, you know, Matt Rupert. Where's he at? Matt Rupert at? I don't know where he is. Oh, there he is. But I remember one day I was coming back from college. I was on campus, you know, I was in school. And, you know, sometimes with school, man, it'll wipe you out. That's real talk. And I remember just coming home one night and I was just so discouraged. I sat on the couch and, dude, I was just crying, dude. Like, I was just like so discouraged, just crying. And I was just like, man, I don't know what to do. I'm never going to get a degree. I'm never going to finish school. It's just, you know, I'm just going to carry the same thing that my family, you know, my family never went to college. I'm just going to be the same. You know how your mind can just kind of do all that? And I was feeling so discouraged. And I remember just sitting there and then Matt just walks in. I don't know if he was excited at first when he walked in because he was just, you know, well, how Matt is, he's really just, you know, he's high energy and everything. But when he walked in and he saw me there, you know, he just, you know, walked up to me and he was just like, hey, man, what's going on? Are you okay? And then I was just, he sat down, dude, and you know how, I don't know if you cried this much before, but you know when you cry and then it's like, the minute you start talking about what you're crying about, you just start wailing, you know, like, as the words come out, it's like, whoa, you know, and you just explode. But
But I remember just talking to him, and I just, as I was talking, I just exploded, man. I just started crying. And dude, I just literally like leaned in his arms, you know. he had put his arm around me, man, and he was just comforting me, you know, and he was just saying like everything's gonna be okay, love you, bro. And dude, I don't know, but I just needed that. I needed that in my life, man. Like, we need that affection. We need that affirmation. And yeah. I'm so grateful for brothers like that in my life, man.
Come on,
bro. And I'm like, and I'll be real with you, like, what brother in here can you literally cry and put your head on their shoulder? Do you have somebody you can literally lay your head on their shoulder comfortably? And literally cry and be emotional. And cry and have somebody that could comfort you.
Come on, bro.
I'm serious, guys. All that macho man stuff out in the world, it don't work. It don't work. We need guys in our lives who are going to comfort us. They're going to speak words of love to us. We need that. You better learn that now, because when you get a wife, you're going to be struggling. You're going to be struggling. I'm sure the married brother's going to... So guys, we need men. We need brothers in our lives. To really come, we gotta learn that stuff now. We gotta really allow people, brothers in our lives, to really show us that comfort. Amen?
Amen.
Guys, we need loving words as a calling. Guys, we need to be called higher. And here's one thing I see. I feel like we got a lot of great relationships, but they're not spiritual ones. When we gotta really call each other higher, we call each other brothers, we call each other friends, but do we really deal with the sin in each other's lives? Do we really call each other higher?
Come on, Charles.
Because the last time I read Proverbs 27:5, it says, open rebuke is better than hidden love.
Yeah.
Are you really loving your brother?
Come on, bro.
Like showing him what he needs to see to be better for Christ.
Wow.
Because guess what? That's what love is. If you call somebody your boy, you can't just flatter him all the time. You gotta tell him what he needs to hear. That's what love is. You agree that was love is? Would you want people to tell you the truth? Because that is love. We gotta really see that. We gotta be the ones receiving it with humility. We gotta be the ones that give it with love. Speaking the truth in love.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
All right, guys. One more thing here. Another way we can share with love is, guys, always try to find out what someone is doing well.
Nice.
Just get used to finding the small things in each other. That is progress. I feel like sometimes we see the bad things and it's just, that's all we talk about. You show up to a discipline time, now I gotta show my junk. I gotta tell everybody what's going on and all this junk going on, man. Listen, man, y'all minds is crazy. I know that's what some of you guys are laughing at over there, all right? So, when I meant junk, I meant sin going on in your life. So, basically, you gotta be able to, highlight the good things in each other's lives. You know, when there's good things going on, be quick to notice that. Be quick to talk about it. Like, bro, I loved how you led that study today. I loved how you shared your faith today. Man, wow, you did great. Guys, we need way more of that. Because Satan is having a ball game over here with all the negative stuff. And we're getting discouraged all the time. That's why the Bible says daily. Because guess how much Satan is fighting? Daily. So how much more do we need love and encouragement from each other before that? Amen?
Yep.
So guys, let's continue to show each other love through that. And the second point here is love with actions. Love with actions. So John 13, verse 1 to 17. I'm not gonna read it, but this is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. I mean, this is the one in the whole Bible. This is probably the most humble, most loving, you know, before the cross, this was probably in scripture one of the most humbling things Jesus ever did. Washing the disciples' stinky feet. I mean, like, he had to get down low, he had to wipe it down, he had to get a towel. I mean, it was crazy. And I don't know, but in the first century, these dudes ain't had socks. And these dudes did not have sneakers, you know? They had sandals, and they were just walking everywhere. I mean, the feet had to be nasty. But what's amazing about Jesus is that he uses this example to show the love for them. Like, he gets down and he washes their feet. And this is such a humble act of service and an act of love that literally Jesus calls us to imitate, which is pretty incredible. And so, and I think one thing I've discovered about myself personally when it comes to this, like loving in action, I think one thing that I struggle with a lot, and guys, I really don't like this about myself. I really don't. And I think one thing that I fall into is I could be more excited to love somebody else, or like love one person more than another person. I feel like with my love, I can show favoritism. You know, guys, I hate that about myself. Like, I don't like that that's part of my character. And so I have to fight to love everybody equally. Like, I really do. Like, it's such a struggle for me. Because, bro, it's easier to love people that are lovable, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, when people are just, they just have a part of them that's just lovable, you know? But when there's people that are harder to love, I tend to draw away from them. And I don't love them the way I should. And I don't know if you guys relate to that, but it's definitely a challenge. You know, it's definitely a challenge that I have to work through and stuff. And I really want to repent. I'm working on that now. Guys, but love is such an important thing. We have to show actions as we love. You know, what are some things we can do? You know, we can provide food when somebody's sick. You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody's sick, somebody's down, we can provide food for them. You know, travel, serve them. You know, sending phone calls and text messages. Guys, I don't know, but for me, like, one text message about a scripture, about something you learn, encourages me a lot, you know? It really helps me and encourages me, you know? I think another thing we could do is pray with each other. That's such a huge thing we can do together. Just call each other on the phone, like, man, let's pray. You know, let's I'm praying for you, bro. I'm doing this for you. You know what I mean? You know, tag teaming on campus, you know? Guys, honestly, well, for some of us, we're probably the only ones on campus or anything like that, but even if they're sisters or anything, try to do it together.
Right.
You know, like, try to share faith and just look at another brother or look at another sister and go, hey, let's help somebody become a Christian this semester. Let's do it. Let's just pick somebody up and let's just love them. Not literally, but let's love them. Let's just pick one person together and let's just love them and help them become a Christian. Literally. So you're not even doing it by yourself. You know, you're doing it with somebody else. You know, I kind of want to end us off here with a story that from a guy that I've met back in North River. So it's North River Church in Georgia. And what's amazing about this story is I was so inspired just by the guy, the disciples there that ended up helping this one guy become a Christian. So there's a guy named Justin. And so Justin, he's handicapped, right? So he's in a wheelchair. He's literally like paralyzed from like the waist down. He can't, actually even his arms are really paralyzed. So he can't walk, literally. So he's on a wheelchair, he's on campus. And so, you know, there's somebody who helps him out and stuff and kind of gets him everywhere. So this is a guy named Jordan, who I met down there, who was sharing his faith on campus. And he saw Justin and he thought, you know what, let me just share my faith with him. You know, let me go up to him, talk to him and everything. And when he went up to Justin, he talked to him. You know, they had a great conversation. He was just trying to get to know him and everything. And he was inviting him out to a Bible talk. And so Justin told him, he said, hey, you know, I would like to come to the Bible talk, but you know, there's not anyone there at that time that could take me to it, you know, because he usually has someone that takes him around, but there wasn't anybody to take him. And so Justin offered, hey, like, I could just meet you and I could take you to the Bible talk. You know, I could take you there. And so he picks up Justin, takes him to the Bible talk, you know, and gets him there. And Justin just had such a great time. You know, all the disciples are going up to him and they're loving up on him. They're asking, you know, just getting to know him and everything. So after that, Jordan asked him to study the Bible, and Justin starts studying the Bible. You know, and so Justin gets his other brother, Daryl, to come in. And so Daryl and Justin start, you know, they just said to each other, man, let's just help him know God. Let's just love up on him. Let's do it. And so they ended up taking care of Justin, literally. I mean, while they were studying the Bible with him, they literally would meet up with him in the morning. and they would help him get dressed. They went in there, they helped him get dressed. They helped get him food. And then they would take him to class. Because the person who was helping him was somebody who was working on campus. And so Jordan and Daryl just decided, you know what? We're just gonna take care of him. And so they both started taking him every day to class and feeding him and just loving up on him and studying the Bible with him. And guys, what's incredible is that a couple months later, he became a disciple. So your brother, Justin, is in the North River Church right now, literally paralyzed. And all these guys did was they decided they were gonna love somebody. And now Justin is a disciple, he's doing great. I see him every year, so I go to Georgia every year and I see him, and he's just so excited to be a disciple. Guys, that's love. When you're willing to get uncomfortable, when you're willing to get, you know, willing to do whatever it takes to help somebody and to love somebody, you will make an impact on somebody's life. And guys, deciding to love is the best decision you will ever make. Deciding to love is never the wrong decision. It will always be the right decision at all times. John 13, verse 34, 35, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So Jesus' plan is literally that I'm going to use you, and I want you to love one another, because that's the only plan I have so people can know me. And you are literally it. You are the plan. Your love for other people is literally the plan to transform and be a light to the world. So guys, tonight I want to encourage you. Let's get humility so that we can learn, so we can gain the knowledge that we need. And guys, let's really get out of our comfort zone and let's love each other. Tonight, decide to make an action of love, because it will literally probably change someone's life in this room tonight. So guys, let's do that and let's really be a light to the world because of our love and our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks so much. Amen.